Hello, and welcome to Gender Troubles. I'm Emma Austin.
I'm Eve Espenshade.
And we majored in gender studies.
So you don't have to.
We are on Twitter at GenderTroubles1, and we're on Instagram at gender.troubles.pod, and we have a Patreon, which is patreon.com/gender_troubles.
And Gender Troubles is a proud member of the Harbinger Media Network. Harbinger brings you progressive podcasts from all across Canada. You can find them at harbingermedianetwork.com. We promised you porn month, and it is May, but this is not a porn episode, as I'm sure you've probably gathered from the title. We wanted to just record a little bit after the leaked document about the Supreme Court in the States plans to overturn Roe v. Wade, and a lot of people are talking about this. I'm listening to podcasts from different people about it, and I think kind of our process, and let me know, Emma, if you agree, is like this all feels incredibly like messy and like everyone's shouting and there's too many things to process and I'm like reading 90 different things and it's like super overstimulating and my TikToks aren't about like cute fat babies anymore. They're like people talking about overthrowing the government, which is great, but you know. And so I think with this episode, we just kind of want to kind of lay out different facets to what's happening and kind of different perspectives, and hopefully to the listener offer like a little bit of just a breakdown and also avenues to focus more into specific things if they interest you. When we're talking about things like self-managed abortion, talking about like the legal side, talking about all these different things, it's just a little lay of the land, if you will.
Yeah.
To create,
that sounds right to me.
Yeah. Create order, slight order out of chaos.
Yeah. I mean, I think there are things that have been on our minds and probably on a lot of people's minds, and we're probably going to miss some points that have maybe been on your mind. So we'll always, you know, let us know and we can do like a follow up and talk, because there's so many different things to unpack here. But yeah, let's get into it.
Yeah. So I feel like this goes without saying, but on Monday night, while we were all judging celebrities for not understanding historically accurate costuming, Politico leaked that the Supreme Court is planning to overturn Roe v. Wade. And we knew this was coming. This has some, from like a logistical standpoint, like the court has been hearing this case in Mississippi and they have until, you know, the summer really to make rulings. And we knew it was coming from like a larger, this has been a plan 50 years in the making. But that didn't mean it wasn't surprising and it didn't suck.
Yeah.
So kind of big broad strokes, what's going to happen when Roe is overturned? Where all basically abortion issues will turn to being state by state. And so, like, according to the Center for Reproductive Rights, 25 states are likely to ban abortions if they are allowed to. And like 14 of those, it will go immediately into effect with so-called trigger laws. And then a bunch of other states are also planning to ban abortion. And then other states are also just looking at severely limiting abortion, which is also terrible. And doctors who perform abortions can be sued and imprisoned. Patients who have abortions can face legal consequences, including imprisonment. We've been seeing kind of the beginnings of this with like the Texas abortion ban and so basically for some people like me in Vermont, which has done a lot to kind of codify Roe into like the more like local legislature, abortion access is going to not go away. Not to say it isn't going to change, but as opposed to someone who's in, you know, Tennessee or Alabama or Missouri or whatnot, where it could just immediately, clinics could start closing once the ruling is official. And this is a leaked draft, but this is what's going to happen.
Yeah, and if you look at the people that are on the Supreme Court, it's not exactly surprising.
No.
Brett Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett, who, like, you know, like the Supreme Court was very recently quite stacked in favor of ruling against RV Wade.
Yeah. And I feel like you and I were like kind of online people, and I've been seeing a lot of stuff online. A lot of it has been really great. And there are a few things that just really, what is it? What's the expression? Like, make my haunches go up. I don't know. Something. Oh,
I like that. I don't know. Makes my haunches go up. It sounds like something.
Staying with my parents out more in the country. Basically, like, I find it really just like annoying that we aren't at this point in history using inclusive language. Like when we talk about pregnancy and abortion, like it's really not hard to say just like pregnant people or people with uteruses or stuff. You don't need to go like weird and be like birthing bodies or something, which I saw and I was like, ooh, that sounds, but
it's weirdly like, medical. I don't know.
Yeah.
Birthing bodies.
Yeah.
But like, also like woo woo.
Yeah. Very woo woo. And it's just, yeah, like people, everyone is going to be affected by this ban, and people with uteruses, especially, and people with uteruses are not all women. And so you're kind of like, men shouldn't be making rules about women's bodies, Instagram story posts. Like, I understand where it's coming from, but that's actually like a pretty reductive understanding both of kind of who's in the Supreme Court and also who's impacted by the overturning of Roe.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been definitely bothering me as well. Like, you know, trans men and non-binary people and gender non-conforming people will obviously be affected by this because all those people can get pregnant. These are bodies that are already being like targeted heavily by conservative legislation in the states. So I just think, yeah, it's important to like not leave them out of the discourse by reducing them to this, to being like something that men are doing to women.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, like the whole like men legislating women's bodies things, like conservative women have had such a big role in rolling back basic rights for women and queer people and people of color. So let's not forget that. Let's not forget our girl bosses out there. And like a great example of a girl boss is Amy Coney Barrett, who is on the Supreme Court right now and has made a career out of pro-life policy. So like there's this urge even among our generation to revert to like kind of like radical feminists, like this is the patriarchy. And it's like, it's just simply not true. And it is super reductive. Like it's about like blurring lines between religion and state that's going on, and like the rise of right-wing fascism that's going on around the world. And it's about class and race. And it's just about so much more than men, women legislating women's bodies.
Yeah. And it is like, we can't look at this, decision in a vacuum. Like this is the same time where we have all these anti-trans and anti-LGBTQ bills being proposed and passed, and like racist unjust voting restrictions. Like it's really important that like we don't lose sight of the other issues kind of as we mobilize around reproductive justice. And it's like an opportunity for us to be like, wow, these are shared struggles, these are intersecting struggles, and coming together for kind of like coalition building and solidarity. And, I worry that in wanting to, you know, put our full force into protecting abortion rights and supporting, you know, people who want abortions, that some of the other, issues that we have been kind of the general leftist community has been fighting for might kind of get pushed to the back burner. And I think a great way to combat that is to talk about and like center who's going to be most impacted by the overturning of Roe from like a statistical standpoint. Like people who are most likely to be affected by Roe are like Black and brown people, low-income folks, people who live in the South and the Midwest and like the Plains area. But it's also, you know, it's going to impact everyone because like regardless of, you know, whether or not you are with someone who could get pregnant, like this, it's like a ripple effect. Like when people are forced to carry pregnancies to term that they do not want, It impacts everything. It means, you know, people not having the financial resources to support their children, you know, the ones they plan for, or just like a myriad of things. But like I saw a thing online where it's like an ad from some super PAC thing being like, that's like, you know, don't overturn Roe. And it's like some like mom and her daughter, and they're like crossing state lines to like get her an abortion, like police pull her over. And like, that seems like a very like, oh, we're centering white women again in this issue where let's try not to do that. Because, you know, based on who's most likely to get an abortion and all these different reasons, like this just, let's just not do that.
Yeah. And like, obviously, like, yeah, I think our health minister yesterday, like the Canadian health minister, was like, you know, like Canada will give you an abortion, just like come on over. And it's like, people that can afford a two-way plane ticket and then afford the, you know, the service without health insurance in Canada, which would be like hundreds of dollars, if not more. Like, they're not the ones that are going to really struggle finding abortion access in the States. It's like the people that can't afford to just drive across a state line, or like, that don't have health insurance in the States. Or, you know, people, and this also impacts people in Canada, but like, you know, people that don't have status, that like in Canada, you can't have access to free healthcare if you don't have status. So like, temporary foreign workers or new immigrants or just, yeah, people without, that aren't citizens, can't access free healthcare. So obviously, like, these are the people that are impacted the most, that aren't just going to be able to like fly on over and get an abortion.
Yeah. And like, this will impact everyone. And this will also just further kind of the divide between those who are wealthy and have the means to access abortion services and those who can't. And like, if you live in the middle of Texas, it's going to take you forever to just reach a state line, and then you're going to cross a state line, and it's going to be another state that doesn't fucking have abortion access. So it's like, just the whole idea of, it's very much like Trump won, I'm going to move to Canada, of like, well, just go to Canada to get our abortions. And it's like,
yeah,
I don't think that's actually going to, that makes you sound really good and welcoming.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's just utter bullshit.
Yeah, it's not a good actual, you know, substantive way to make change. Something I've been seeing a lot on kind of my timelines and stuff is discussions around self-managed medical abortions, which basically is people who are terminating their pregnancy, who either do not go to like a clinic, or they go to a clinic and they come back. Taking abortion pills are basically the best way to say it. And it's common already for people who, you know, regardless of like back when we had, you know, nice, good abortion rights for everyone, like that's like a common practice. Like, there's two different types of abortions, right? So there's medical and surgical. Medical happens like earlier in the process. And people have been talking about kind of self-managed abortions. And then also there's been kind of at the same time as people sharing like really helpful resources and stuff that we'll get into, people using a lot of like the coat hanger imagery and kind of by pointing out that abortions won't go away, they'll just become more unsafe, which is true, but can also lead to more like stigmatization and fear around self-managed abortions, which again have been happening since the beginning of time, safely in different communities. Yeah. And so there's an activist who I follow, who I'll link in the show notes, who posted a TikTok just like talking about how, like, as tempting as it is to like want to like mail coat hangers to fucking Brett Kavanaugh or whatever, like that's not productive, and that's kind of that's just furthering kind of the stigmatization around self-managed abortions, which I know you know have a little bit more to say about that.
Yeah, I mean, I was just actually like before this leak, like last week, I was like running and was listening to this episode of Science Versus called the abortion.
You've got to say science versus. Wait, I can't
do an Australian accent. I just sound weirdly British.
Science versus. Yes, there it is. Okay.
Was that good? I don't know. I'm so sorry to any Australian person listening. I really like this podcast. They always they pride themselves on how many sources they use, and then they provide these like really intense like citation sheets. And it's fantastic. I guess my main takeaways from listening to that episode, and I will link that episode in the show notes, and I highly recommend you listen to it. Although if you get squeamish about this stuff, which I kind of do sometimes, I found it okay to listen to. I just had to fast forward a couple bits when they get into the nitty gritty. But yeah, so they'll obviously never be replacement for free and accessible medical or surgical abortion. That's supervised by medical professionals. There's just I just want to emphasize that. But not all self-managed abortions are synonymous with coat hangers and with death. And in fact, in pre-Roe versus Wade times, there were underground networks of feminists and doctors and nurses and people that were just generally interested in providing methods of inducing menstruation. They were using much safer methods than coat hangers. So the most popular method was something called the Del-M, which was developed by two feminist activists in the 1970s. And it's basically a machine that is what is used in most abortion clinics today. It's called the vacuum method. Mm-hmm. And it's not an actual vacuum. It's not as scary as you think. It's just creating a vacuum effect, but it's gentle. It's not a sucking motion.
It's not like a giant Dyson vacuum.
No. it basically is made out of you can make your own. You can get all the materials at your local hardware store. So you need a receptacle. So often they'd use a mason jar, mm-hmm. And plastic tubing and a syringe to create that vacuum mm-hmm. effect through the plastic tubing. And it has a much smaller risk of injury and infection compared to a sharp object like a coat hanger. And the main cause of death from coat hanger abortions was actually perforation of the uterus, right? Yeah. And that's not really a risk with the Del-M, because you're not putting anything into the uterus, but you are inserting a plastic tube into your cervix. So which that will A, always be painful. And B, always come with risk of infection. Mm-hmm. Your cervix is there to keep things out of your uterus. And if you're inserting something into it, there's always going to be a risk of infection. So it's still not 100% safe, but it's certainly not a coat hanger.
Yeah.
And then there's also, what you were talking about earlier, Eva, the medical abortion. So medical abortions use two type of medication. There's misoprostol and then mifepristone, and it's used in combination, and it's usually only used if you're under 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. I don't think you can use it if you're further than 8 weeks, which obviously creates its own problems because lots of people don't know they're pregnant within 8 weeks. Yeah, it involves taking a series of pills that induce menstruation. So the first is mifepristone, which ends the pregnancy by blocking progesterone. And then the second is mifepristone, which causes the uterus to contract and expel the pregnancy. And these are pills that are handed out at abortion clinics all the time and are self-managed. So you'll take one at the clinic and then you'll take three more the next day. So it's already done in a very self-managed way. Mm-hmm. And it does give you horrible, horrible cramps because it causes your uterus to contract, but it's safe. Mm-hmm. And there's little risk involved. And you can order these pills online right now in many states and in Canada.
And sometimes they can mail. I know there's organizations too that are try to mail you the pills. So now, of course, there's all this stuff with mailing stuff across state lines and whatever. I don't quite understand.
Yeah.
But
so they also, mentioned that in this episode, but just it's getting harder also in certain places to even order those drugs mm-hmm. online. So. But, and then again, all this is affected by legislation that is proposed in some places, which would make seeking abortion services criminal. Because if something does go wrong with a self-managed abortion and you need to seek medical attention, you're at risk of being charged for a criminal offense. So
even though they can't tell, there's no way to tell between really like a miscarriage and mm-hmm. an abortion. But I mean, we saw in Texas, the woman who was arrested for supposedly, you know, for having an abortion. You know, it just wasn't, there've been people who've been arrested for having miscarriages before too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought, like, I guess listening to this episode gave me like some weird hope, even though it seems wild to like even think that like this is this is the reality, is like people giving themselves abortions because they won't be able to like find them in a proper medical establishment. But I think like the networks of alternative care that are active in the US right now, and that only seem to be strengthened by you know, when legislation tries to force motherhood onto people, is like really inspiring. Mm-hmm. And to know that people are like driving like mifepristone and Del-Ems across state borders to give people safer alternatives, or driving people across mm-hmm. state borders, like there's like vans that are like picking people up and driving them to this state or driving them to that state, you know.
And I mean, I think, like, as someone who's you know, done kind of some work with reproductive justice stuff at Planned Parenthood when I was younger, and kind of the goals are, you know, for abortion to be accessible, and then also for abortion to be normalized and destigmatized. And I think that the more conversations we have about, you know, the myriad of ways that people get abortions can only really help. I get what you mean about there is something nice hearing about people who are doing this work. There used to be a boat, I don't know if it's still around, in Europe, where they would go to countries where abortion wasn't available, and they would bring passengers out into international waters and then give them the abortion pills and then bring them back. Yeah.
Oh, that's brilliant.
So like people have been finding ways around kind of legislation.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, I also wanted to just say the way like that abortion was and has been self-managed like pre the Western medical establishment. So this includes many methods that have still have been appropriated by Western medicine and are still in use today. So like raspberry leaf tea is often prescribed to very pregnant women who want to go into labor because it causes contractions, and this can also be used when trying to induce menstruation. Mm-hmm. So like there are ways, I guess, that like people have been doing this outside of like a medical establishment for literally ever.
And you have here, like, you can order and acquire abortion pills just to have too.
Yeah.
Depending on where you are.
So like if you're in Canada, you know, you could order mifepristone and misoprostol and just save it for a rainy day. Maybe someone will need some, and you can mail it to them. Not giving anyone any ideas.
No, you know.
Just saying you could.
And that brings me to another thing I've been seeing a lot of people talk about, which is like emergency contraceptives. So like Plan B and stuff like that. And like saying like, please don't go out though and like buy all the Plan B now. Like, we don't want the toilet paper stockpiling at the beginning of the pandemic. But like in general, doctors will say like it's good practice if you have the ability to become pregnant to just like have Plan B on hand, and to not store it in your bathroom. That's something I learned. It's like pills last better in general if they're not in somewhere that's like really moist and warm. So like put that it somewhere sense. Else. Okay. But it has like a shelf life of 4 years. And like anybody, any age can purchase Plan B or any, that's what a brand name, but of the type of emergency contraceptive, like over the counter, no prescription needed. But really importantly, if you weigh more than 155 pounds, Plan B is like much less effective or like may not work. And then if you weigh more than 195 pounds, the Ella morning after pill, which is a different type, won't work. And so like the only guaranteed emergency contraception for people kind of over 155 pounds is an IUD insertion. So this can be done up to 5 days after intercourse, so 120 hours, but it does require, you know, booking a emergency appointment with a doctor or gynecologist and then having an IUD inserted, which is like not a pleasant experience. But just, I know specifically like a lot of fat women have talked about how there's just no real kind of common knowledge around Plan B not being as effective the more you weigh.
Yeah, I had no idea.
So keep that in mind if as you think about stocking up or thinking about, yeah, getting different pills. Did I ever tell you my pregnancy test story?
No.
So I've taken many a pregnancy test in my day.
As have I.
Yes. Yeah. So lovely. It's not like the new at-home COVID test. You're like waiting for 10 minutes. Just like, ooh. But I was on vacation with my family and I like left an activity to like sneak over to the pharmacy and like buy a pregnancy test. And I wasn't pregnant, but I thought I was. And I go to there and I like, I'm like very like, you know, 18, like very kind of trying to keep a low profile in this touristy beachy town. And I go to the cashier guy and I'm like not really looking at him. And he like looks at the pregnancy test and he like scans it. He puts it in a bag and he looks at me and he just goes, pro-life. And I was like, I didn't know what to do. So I just kind of ran away.
Why would that be your response to someone buying a pregnancy test?
I don't know. Okay. Anyway, so that was lovely.
My first experience buying a pregnancy test was when I was I was quite young. I was like 16 or I don't know. But like I was with like 7 of my girlfriends and we all like walked in together and like found the one on the shelf and then walked up to the cash together, like all just like wiggling side by side, you know? And then like the lady like scanned it and she was like, good luck.
you're like everybody create the Roman turtle formation where you have everyone as the shields up around the person.
Yeah.
Oh god.
And then we just all just scuttled to the food court bathroom. I wasn't pregnant, but yeah, did many a pregnancy test in that food court bathroom of the downtown mall by my high school.
I had to take a pregnancy test last week when I right before getting my hysterectomy. And I was like, how fucking hilarious would it be if they were like, you're pregnant? I wasn't. But I gotta say also, I'm very proud of my timing.
No kidding.
Deciding to sterilize myself was couldn't have picked a better week. I've also seen people talk about kind of this is like, I don't like sounding like a conspiracy theorist or anything. And you know, my general thought around conspiracy theories, which is I don't have faith that people are that good at planning. But I have seen people talk about, now is a great time to kind of, re-up and tighten your digital security. Because, you know, as we know with digital security too, you're not just protecting yourself, you're protecting everyone. So if, as we move into this, you know, post-Roe world where potentially you might be supporting, helping someone get an abortion, you might, yourself might be getting an abortion in a place where it's not legal or the law is kind of messy. People have talked about checking out whatever period tracking apps you use, which is something I hadn't thought about, but a lot of period tracking apps on your phone sell your data. So like the one called Flow, like sells it with like gives it to marketing and analytics firms like Facebook and Google. And I've heard people say that Planned Parenthood has a tracking app called Spot On. That's like a good alternative option and doesn't sell your data. But even then, like you want to check all the annoying terms and conditions. And the reason I say this is because people are thinking that the overturning of Roe is not the end. It's now going to be looking at you know, different types of birth control, like the way Republicans and right-wing people have been talking about certain birth controls as being like abortion pills. Like people are calling Plan B an abortion pill, which it is not. It does not stop. It does not abort a pregnancy. It stops it from happening. You know, different types of birth control. So the understanding is we're just going to go backwards. And so chances of them going after your birth control. And so just to have big companies potentially selling their data to law enforcement or being accessible via like a court order showing your ovulation, showing a lot of times in these apps like you put in like when you took your birth control or like when you had sex or something, like just in good practice to check out if you're using one of these apps. And, you know, I think, like, yeah, it feels conspiracy theory-ish, but it's, like, I feel like it's generally good practice to try to avoid apps that, like, sell data about your body and habits. And another thing I've been seeing a lot has been, like, now's a really good time to also be conscious of, like, where you're donating money. So, like, the kind of, this happens a lot where something awful will happen, and then people's reaction is, like, oh, I gotta go, like, donate to Planned Parenthood, or, like, donate to the ACLU, or whatever, like, based on the thing. Which is great and awesome, but a lot of the times the organizations that, like, really need your help right now are, in this case, like, local abortion funds, mutual aid networks. Like, there's, we'll include lists, and I'm sure you can find your own too, but in when times like these, what typically happens is certain, like, bigger nonprofits get, like, a huge influx of cash, which, again, like, you know, I'm all for funding you know, Planned Parenthood, but there's also something to really be said about thinking about kind of what the best way to use your dollars is. And yeah, and that is too if you're in Canada and you want to give to Canadian reproductive justice organizations, because Canada is not, as we've discussed, a magical safe haven for
There's definitely, like, Canada is a huge country with very small pockets of densely populated areas, and there's a lot of Canada where you would have to drive hours and hours to access an abortion. So definitely are, like, yes, we have accessible abortion, but is it really accessible if you have to drive 10 hours to get it? Mm-hmm. Also, yeah, temporary foreign workers, migrants, immigrants do not have access to free Canadian healthcare. Mm-hmm. So, you know, an abortion in, like, somewhere like Ontario, I think, would cost, like, upwards of, like, $600. So, again, not accessible. I guess my last point was just, like, about kind of the politics around this. Yeah. Like, there have been opportunities to protect these rights in the States, from what I understand. And I don't pretend to be an expert in the American political system, because it's really confusing and I don't get it. But, like, both Obama and Biden ran for office on the promise that they would, like, codify Roe versus Wade into law, and neither of them did. And now look at what has happened. And this often gets framed as, like, what conservative and Republicans are doing, but it also matters about what liberals or Democrats are not doing. In Canada, you know, abortion is decriminalized, has been since, like, a 1988 Supreme Court decision, but, like, this has never been enshrined into law. And it's not considered a constitutionally protected right in the Charter of Rights and Freedom. So it's like, not out of the question that something like this could happen in Canada. And, you know, our government should be passing a bill that enshrines abortion access into law. But, yeah, we'll see if that happens.
And the Democrats' strategy of every election is the most important election in our lifetime, and, you know, we're just being told over and over, like, just vote. And it's like, you can't vote your way out of this. You can't vote your way out of the climate crisis or out of all of these other things. And I think people have really kind of just fucking, they're like, we're done. Like, I don't know, Susan Sarandon's, like, yelling at all these politicians on Twitter, and it's
really?
Like, yeah, she's like going after Nancy Pelosi and stuff. It's,
hell yeah.
You know, like, yeah, awesome. Yeah, so hopefully this all leads to a really good opportunity for mobilization and people to come together. And, like, this is, again, like, we are leftists, we are on a leftist Canadian network, and this is a leftist issue. Like, abortion access, reproductive justice is an issue that affects all of us. It is an issue about race. It is an issue about class. It is an issue about citizenship and the environment and all of these different things. And I'm really hoping that leftist people, specifically leftist men, but just in general, recognize this for what it is, which is just a terrible threat to the lives of so many people, and mm-hmm. considering the Supreme Court and where it is now, like, this is just the beginning. And so people are worried about, you know, gay marriage next, mm-hmm. or about the access to contraceptives or civil rights. Like, they're all connected in one big soup. And again, like, this is something that has been planned out for a very long time. I saw a tweet that said that Republicans have been playing the long game and the Democrats have been playing some sort of game, maybe Animal Crossing.
Yeah, sounds about right. Like, as, you know, abortion becomes harder to access for so many people, also, like, what will the government how will government policies change around, like, you know, like, forcing imprisoned women to have abortions, mm-hmm. or, like, practices of, like, sterilization, or, like, abortions without full and informed consent, that often, you know, affect, like, women of color, or, like, migrant women. So, yeah, just to think about, like, who is not going to be able to have an abortion and who is going to have an abortion thrust upon them still.
Mm-hmm. How should we leave this? I'm wondering. Do you have any final thoughts to our lovely listeners? Look, I'm breaking the fourth wall. I'm addressing you guys.
As a proud member of the left, we do have a tendency to eat each other. And I think that this, like, is a really important time to, like, yeah, to just to work together and to, like, understand that all of our issues are so interconnected, and that it will really take, like, a united front to combat what is probably going to be a bit of a scary time. And I don't mean to sound, like, sensationalist, like, you know, but it is. It's like, this is, like, a huge loss, and it definitely means further loss of rights for a bunch of people moving forward. So yeah, it's like a snowball, I think. That wasn't very that was not an uplifting note.
No,
would you like to leave us on something?
Yeah, how about I leave us with a set of questions that was posed by this writer who goes by Prison Culture, and I will link it. And basically, it's like questions for when one is outraged about injustice. What resources can exist so I can better educate myself? Who's already doing work around this injustice? Do I have the capacity to offer concrete support and help them? And how can I be constructive? I think when things get really emotional, as it is for so many, and when something hits home, I know I personally tend to kind of just, like, flail and just try to throw whatever little money I have at the problem, and instead to think about this and think about really, like, how can I be the most supportive person mm-hmm. I can right now. And so thank you for joining us for our emergency Roe v. Wade is being struck down, and we don't know how to process besides talking into microphones. And we'll be back with Porn Month for real.
Yeah, we'll actually talk about porn.
Imagine that. What if we just said we were going to do it and never actually did it?
Yeah, interesting way to get listeners. We promise we're going to talk about porn. Just stay tuned.
No, that's never.
It's just sad political news.
See you next time.